Isn't that just a delicious poem? Marge Piercy is a Jewish woman, a lesbian and a Jewish woman. That poem comes from a book of poems of hers entitled The Art of Blessing the Day. It is the title poem, and it's a glorious and wonderful evocation of blessing. And it is a blessing for me to be with you here today. I have known your minister, Reverend Jennifer, for a little while now. We've had some great conversations in time, but it's been wonderful to actually be here and spend this time with you in your early service with Anne and others, and then also now with you. It is in my tradition that I would just like to take a moment to call us together. I need a moment of blessing myself and a blessing for you, so let me bear with me and join with me as you feel led or ready to do so. Holy One of the universe, be with us as you have already been with us in the glories of this time together this morning, this beautiful music, meditation, sharing of concerns, all the children, that glorious story. So much has been rich already. Help us to have more of that richness now. Help me to share in it as best I can, as much as you want me to share with these good people, and help us all to be drawn together, knit together in the continuing bonds of love. In all your holy names, in all the names of wonder of the universe, blessed be, so be it. Amen. Let me just give you the last verse, or part of the last verse of the poem that Anne just read. What we want to change, we curse, and then pick up a tool. Bless whatever you can, with eyes and hands and tongue. If you can't bless it, get ready to make it new. Those words of hers, and the whole poem is glorious, but that very conclusion, when I first read it many years ago now, my husband is Jewish, and so we love Marge Piercy on a number of levels. When I first read this, it connected me with a guiding principle of my own life, really for a way of being that I've had for most of my life. And it's like this. Things are not only ever as bad as they seem. Let me say that again. Things are not only not ever as bad as they seem. They are actually better than we can imagine. This is not Pollyanna. I'm not standing up here saying, oh, everything's wonderful. You know, the Candide line, this is the best of all possible worlds, and we just sit back and enjoy it. No, I'm not saying that. I am saying, however, that we are grounded in the reality that things are not what they could be. And we know that's true, right? They could be better. We know that. If we're grounded in that reality, we also can be grounded in they are better than they seem, because then they can be even better. In other words, we're not stuck. We're not stuck with what is. We know it could be better, and because we know it already is better, we know it's going to get better. But, of course, it requires us to do something. And I realize that oftentimes in my own life, and this may be true for you, we get lost in the things that aren't right in our lives. And so we focus there. The poet Mark Nepo has a wonderful line that I just cherish. And it is, we often, and let me see if I can remember it exactly. I got it right here, and let me just go here. I'm using the iPad for the first time, and it's actually throwing me off. I've used the iPad for lots of things, but never used it as my text, you know, or my notes here. He says, we tend to make the thing in the way, the way. Okay? We tend to make the thing in the way, it's in our way, the way. And so if we understand that that thing is only a thing, and that we actually can do something. And part of that for me is a lifelong, I've realized, only I've only learned it in the last few years. I don't know about any of you, but my parents got wiser as I got older, right? But I'm getting wiser now too. And I'm catching on to things that I didn't quite cut into before or understand. And one of them is that because things are better than they appear and than we think they are, I believe that that is because God is in everything. Now, that's me. I'm a theist. I will admit it freely. I use the term God, and it's a very capacious term. It's not about a particular faith's God. It is a God of whatever kind of force or universe or feeling or global understanding or universal understanding of what should be, that is the reason things are better than they appear, is because God is in everything. And so my entire life journey now is about developing a better sense of that God in everything, a closeness to it. For a long time, I didn't understand that, and I thought it was about external things, but it's actually so much about what's in me, the God that's in me, and the God that's in each one of us. There's a God. There's a piece of God. We are children and created in the image of God. So I am not stuck where I am because I can be open to more. And one of the things about that is that my life is, I'm 67. I'm getting very proud of that. I've earned every moment of it. Some people say, oh, you don't seem that old. Well, I like that, of course. That's always nice to hear. But what I have also discovered recently is that there are scientists now who are saying that the normal lifespan is 120 years. I heard a laugh. I'm sure everybody's thinking, oh my gosh. You know? The first time I read this, I thought, and then I thought, well, I don't think it'll happen for me. I don't know, of course. I mean, there are people living to 100 now. It's becoming more and more possible. I don't know that those of us who are my age are going to see this, but some of you may well see it. And I realized at some point, for me, it was very much about thinking about what could I do with those next 53 years? Wow, there's a lot. There's a lot. I care about a lot of stuff. I suspect a lot of you do too. And so that is where the art of blessing the day comes in for me. You see, she talks about that in a variety of ways, about receiving these blessings. You know, did you love the one about the tomato, you know? I mean, we really are in that downtime right now with the tomato. It isn't a tomato. It's something that's made to look like a tomato, but it's not really a tomato, right? So we are stuck in that moment, but we actually, it's not, so that blessing isn't happening, but we can remember it, and we can anticipate, because it's coming again, right? Come July, August, September, in Virginia, we'll have tomatoes, and they'll be glorious. The blessing is both what we receive, right? But the art of blessing the day, that's actually our work. It's not just to receive the blessings of life, of which we all have, I think, probably some to count, and some more than others, perhaps. And it's being open to that and seeing the blessings that we may overlook, right? Some of the things that Anne read in terms of this acts of compassion. Those are blessings. People doing small things, and it's actually a way of, it's a blessing to somebody who received it, right? The act of compassion. But also, when we act compassionately, we are doing the blessing. We are blessing. Not a blessing. We are blessing. As individuals and as a group, we are blessing. So, I entitled this, How Ready Are We for More Blessing? And you can hear that either way. How ready are we to receive more blessing? Right? And I hope we're all ready for that, although I know that's a struggle for some people. I have a very good friend who's very talented, is an actress in Richmond. My husband's, he's a therapist, but he does a lot of theater, and we know this woman. She's extraordinarily talented. If anybody makes the slightest suggestion of an improvement or something that she might think about, she hears it as horrible criticism. And she goes, you know, she goes into a whole different place. And it's so, instead of understanding that somebody's giving her a blessing, because she can't receive the blessing, right? So that's the first thing we have to do. We have to be open to receiving the blessing. But then the other thing is, we have to be ready to be blessing. We have to be ready to be blessing. So we want to be aware of those that are coming, but also to understand that we can do more blessing, that we can indeed think of ourselves as blessing. My name is Robin, and I am a blessing. Huh? My name is Robin, and I bless. Now, I come from a Christian tradition, an Episcopal church originally, although I have served more recently for 10 years as a pastor in the Metropolitan Community Churches and was in Richmond as the pastor until last year when I stepped down to do this work for PUFEV. And I grew up, though, in an Episcopal tradition, and some of you may have grown up in Christian traditions of various types. And it was the priest who could do the blessing, right? That was the blessing that counted, right? That's what I thought as a kid. That's what I was taught. It was the priest, and he was a wonderful man in my church, and he did these wonderful blessings, but it was only his blessing. It's taken me years to catch on to the fact that we're each one priests, not in the sense of liturgical or church, but priests who have the right and the art of blessing in us. So that's what we're called to be, I believe. And it's more than being a consumer of the blessing we receive. It's also about taking that blessing and others and giving it away, making sure that others have it. So I know that I really want to talk a little bit about People of Faith for Equality in Virginia, and I'm going to connect those two, I hope. I hope you get the connection I'm going to make. And that is, we live in Virginia, right? I'm a transplant. It's now my home. My husband and I don't ever want to leave. We love Richmond. We love the whole state, and I get to travel all over it now in my work as president of People of Faith. And I don't know about you, but I feel incredible blessings living right here. It's a glorious place. The mountains are gorgeous. The ocean is gorgeous. The river, you know, the James River. I live in Richmond, and it comes along this, you know, all the way down to the coast. As I get to travel, I get to see more and more of the glories. I went around a bend recently on my way to Winchester, and I had to stop and pull off the road and sort of both cry a cry of joy and just sit there, because there was this valley that opened in front of me, and it looked biblical to me. It looked like something out of Isaiah or somewhere, the valley being made. Oh, it's gorgeous. So we have all that. We have wonderful people. We have this diversity of people. You and Williamsburg have a wonderfully rich kind of diversity that goes on here because of the various institutions and so on that are here. So we have all of that. On the other hand, of course, we have Virginia's history, right? Which continues to play out in so many ways. 400 years of grinding people down. People that are not the same as we are, right? And this continues. We have this struggle. And it's so often, you know, we can get angry about it. And I love the song. Thank you, Reverend Jennifer, for suggesting we sing We Are a Gentle, Angry People. Do you know where that song came from? Holly Near, a longtime folk singer, wrote that song when Harvey Milk, do anybody here know that name, Harvey Milk? Some of you would know. He was the gay city supervisor in San Francisco, and he was shot by a city council member. He was a city supervisor, and another city supervisor who thought he shouldn't be around because he was gay. This was 1978 when he was shot. Then they had a trial, and that guy who did the killing, it was very well known, it was indisputable, he confessed. And they said, well, he was deranged. And so the community was outraged. So there were, you know, people pouring out in the streets of San Francisco, shouting and screaming and probably wanted to tear things down and so on and so forth. And in that moment, Holly Near sang, "We are a gentle, angry people." Because she understood in that moment the very thing I'm talking about. And that is that even though the mountain may be high or the wall may be big, and we know a lot about that in Virginia, creating change here, we are also more than that. We can bless. We can bless what lays before us even when it doesn't look good, even when it looks ugly. We can find a way to go through it. The same poet who talks about the thing in the way becoming the way tells a story about going to a garden. Actually, it's an Asian garden, Jennifer, that's been moved, horrible thing probably in some ways, moved from Asia to Montreal or Toronto or somewhere up in Canada. And they wanted to go see it, and they got there. They got there, and there was a big wall and the gate, and it's locked. And Mark says he got very angry because he had driven 300 miles or whatever to get there, and they couldn't go. His friend, on the other hand, started walking along the wall. He said, What is he doing? Why is he doing that? Well, he followed him along, sort of mumbling and grumbling, you know, you get somewhere and you can't get there. And pretty soon, this wall that had been this high stone wall began to taper down. And eventually there was no wall. And they walked into the garden. They walked into the garden that looked closed. I think we have to hold that kind of image, and that's the thing that Holly Near, in some ways, in that song, is helping us understand that even though our history and even much of our political structure seems to be resolutely against equality, resolutely against things, resolutely for the death penalty, as we talked about in the earlier service, and all kinds of other things, and certainly equality for LGBT folks, So we have to be ready to bless. We have to be blessing all the time. We have to see the opportunity that exists. And one of them is, and this is a commercial, so get ready, because they're the most interesting part of everything, right? On the TV program, really, the commercials are probably the best oftentimes. This is a commercial, and it is this. This Friday, Valentine's Day, remember, everybody remember it's Valentine's Day? Remember to get something for your significant person, whoever it might be, or the one you'd like to be your significant person. But also, if you possibly can, go with Reverend Jennifer to the courthouse here in Richmond at noon. Gather there, because we're going to have what we're calling Witness for Love. And it is to make a witness for the desire of people here in this congregation, in this community of Williamsburg, and others as well around the state, that we want the state of Virginia to allow legal marriage of same-gender loving couples. I want to plug, and I'm almost ready to stop. I can hear, I don't want to take too much time, but it's not same-sex marriage, okay? It is not same-sex marriage. That's the way the media talks about it. It's marriage. It's marriage for two people who love each other. And in this case, they would be two men or two women. Just as many of you are in marriages where you know, a man and a woman, and you love each other. And some of you, I've heard some stories. Some people have anniversaries, 50 years, whatever. We have same gender loving couples who've been together for 50 years as well. Okay? So it's not same sex, it's marriage. It's marriage equality for everyone to be able to marry. We are beginning to think that there should be a right to marry whomever you choose. Obviously, you have to be of age, and they can't be your brother, your sister, that sort of thing. But anybody else that you want to marry, we should have the right to marry. The state does not marry people. God or the universe or some kind of force or some kind of desire that brings people, that's what marries people. And then the state gets to confer some benefits on them. That's what we're fighting for. So I really hope you'll join Reverend Jennifer. There is a little flyer. I'm so grateful for the mic on me so I can do that. There's a little flyer here that talks about a little bit. Please look at that. Show up. Be with Reverend Jennifer, others in the community. It won't be just this church. And I should tell you this. I don't know if this is a good UU thing to do or not, but I would try. It's a good Baptist. I know I'm not a Baptist, but I know a little bit about Baptists. This will work with a Baptist crowd. It may not work with you. The Unitarian Universalist Church of Sterling, the Unitarian Universalist Church of Winchester, the Universalist Church, the Unitarian Universalist Church of, I'm going to forget them now, Blacksburg, the one in Lynchburg, the one in Norfolk, the one in Richmond, the one in Arlington, the one in Fairfax. I think we have a couple of others around the state. I can't remember. They're turning out people. Maybe the Williamsburg UUs would like to have the biggest group of Unitarians, okay? So we'll see, okay? Do the best you can, and we'll see what happens, right? Because all those congregations are part of Witness for Love in those communities, and we have other ones in other places where it doesn't happen to be a UU congregation. 20 or so, maybe 25 places around Virginia. It's the first time we've done this big. It's usually been like three or four communities. This year, because there's so much happening, the legal cases are happening. By the way, just a quick word about the legal cases. We may have a decision this week in the Norfolk case. It hopefully will be positive. The other side will appeal. Then it will come to the Court of Appeals in Richmond. If we lose, we'll appeal, right? Okay, our side. It will go to the Supreme Court. It's going to take a while. In the meantime, our job as liberal religion people, clearly, and many others who join us who are not in that tradition but are in a good open tradition, is to make Virginia ready for equality. This equality is coming. It is not stoppable. It's not a question of if. This is the thing. Don't think just because the thing is this way that it's going to stay this way. It's going to change. Because it changes in the air. There are 17 states, and so on and so forth. We're going to have it in Richmond. I believe in Virginia, we're going to have it one way or another by 2016. But it is not inevitable if we do not stand up and speak up and say, this is what we want in our community. This is how we want our people to live. We want them to live in equality and justice. So this day, this time, it's only like an hour at most at the courthouse. It's a celebration of love. It's a political act, yes, but it's also very much about our spirit and our sense of the loving nature that is in all of us and how the world should be indeed more living. We can change. We can change Virginia. And it's, of course, we know that the climb is a little steep, but we can do it. And so the closing point for me to say is, you go back to Marge Piercy, that poem, I hope you really liked it as much as I do. And Anne, you've read it just right. I got the juiciness of that tomato right there. She says about political victory, although I shall not forget that things work in increments and epicycles and sometimes leaps that half the time fall back down, let's not relinquish the dancing while the music fits into our hips and bounces our heels, right? There's music in life always. And she says, we must never forget pleasure is as real as pain. Never forget pleasure is as real as pain, and that in being blessing, we can increase the amount of pleasure, the amount of joy in the world. We can help Virginia get ready not only for equality, but also for love.